Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome one and all to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello.
Week of Champions League we've had, ladies and gentlemen. My
Such
goodness.
Drama. Wow.
Italian football has been at the forefront of all of our minds this week.
Ooh,
we're going to have to do an on-the-continent land grab, aren't we, to talk about the Juve game.
I think we are, and I think we're going to.
I think my Macho Man Randy Savage impression is exactly the same as my Cosmo and Dibs from you and me.
Go on,
far away.
Both.
Oh, yeah, Miss Elizabeth.
So that was Cosmo and Dibs.
That was Cosmo and Dibs. And Cosmo and Dibs got... Oh, I can't even do it now. Oh,
that sounded like a Japanese man just dying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Miss Elizabeth.
What's that bit come
Which
from?
Which one is that?
It's too lippy. He always says Miss Elizabeth.
Macho Man, coming to get you.
That's better.
Jim's Macho Man.
In the intro, Mark, I don't know about if you feel the same, and you, Jim, but when we go around the table and say hello, I'm always expecting Pete to say something weird.
Yeah.
And he just said hello this week, and I feel a bit shortchanged.
Yeah, but then he started talking about Cosmo and Dibs.
True.
In the actual show.
I gotta say, it didn't take long.
You and me and you, lots and lots for us to do.
Yep. Influence the song She's Electric, apparently.
Pete, you've got a garbage bin for a heart.
You do.
and so does the rest, mate.
And so does Michael Oliver, according to Gigi Buffon, who has bowed out gracefully from Champions League.
I don't have that much of a problem with his reaction, because it was right post-match. He was very upset. It was obviously an emotional reaction to what had taken place. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's not a romantic end to anyone's European career, but...
I wish he'd have headbutted Zinedine Zidane in the chest when he walked off. That would have been great. That would have been the greatest moment in the history of football.
I love it. You know, we always talk about how we don't like it when people say, oh, you don't want to see that sort of thing in football, when secretly we all love it. So I think we should double down and just enjoy this for what it is.
But what a
spectacle from Buffon.
But you sometimes join Pete, Jim, in wanting to see the world just burn, don't you?
Yeah, very much so.
I feel I've got a big appetite for that. but I still think that... And to echo briefly what Pete said there, I completely empathise with why he feels like that. Mm. And I think he's essentially, I don't want to overstate it, but he's essentially grieving, isn't he, for something that he's lost, and something that was very, very important to him. And I understand that. But at the same time, he has sort of embarrassed himself there.
And for a man
who's built a reputation over years as being a very classy operator at the top level, for him to go so far that way... Mm. It's a real shame. The way that he behaved on the pitch was obviously unacceptable, and he had to be sent off. I can forgive that, because the referee has that mechanism in place for a reason. Mm-hmm. If someone loses their mind and really sort of confronts a referee in that way, you've got no choice but to show him the red card. But for him to carry on after the game, almost because what it came across like was him saying, oh, he's got a rubbish bin for a heart, coming across like the referee owes him something. We've played so well that you owe us this. And it's not that. The referee's got to be dispassionate. Mm. It's nothing to do with the occasion.
And finally, really quickly,
it was a penalty anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like it was even a debatable decision. And we all agree around the table about that, presumably. Mm. So to me, it was a bit of an unedifying spectacle.
And Brand Buffon has never been stronger, really, hasn't it?
100%.
Over the last couple of seasons, he's been working pretty hard on that particular situation.
Yeah. He's undone it.
And he's, well, yeah. Has he undone it or has he just enhanced it?
I'll never look at that man again.
I don't think anyone sort of, well, people still talk about the Zidane headbutt, obviously, but it doesn't undo what he did before that. No. But I think, you know, Oliver certainly, you know, didn't have to send him off, could he? He could have booked him. He could certainly have used his discretion.
I think if it was at the other end.
Jim, I think just the way he, it was almost like it was one step short of a physical assault. He came into physical contact with the referee in an aggressive way. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I don't think the referee could have done that.
If it's because Juve was staging an utterly remarkable comeback. Mm. And in light of what Roma did as well, everyone, all the neutrals, we were all going, oh my giddy aunt, it's
happening again.
This is incredible.
His argument was like, but the romance of it.
Essentially it.
Ref, well, have you got no joy in your soul?
That is it. I mean, I found it incredible what Andrea Agnelli, the Juventus president, said. And he reckoned Michael Oliver completely lost control. And he said referee...
No, he asserted control.
Yeah,
exactly.
He was perfectly in control.
Everyone else lost control.
Completely.
If you see Michael Oliver, I think he deserves actually a bit of praise.
Yeah.
Yes, in one sense, the comeback was ruined. It's not the referee's fault.
No.
You have to understand, you know, the referee's probably reluctantly... You know, in terms of the football fan inside him giving a penalty and whatnot, but that's what he's hired to do.
And Real Madrid were throwing themselves all over the place in the first half, certainly trying to get something going effectively. So they know that if there's any contact in the box, they're going to go down. The penalty is going to be awarded.
Well, yeah. I don't think it was a case of him particularly going down. It's just a penalty. Particularly if you look at it in normal time, and particularly based on that on where Michael Oliver is based, it's just a clear penalty.
Jim, large amounts of football fans, not just the, and I completely agree with you, Marcus, everyone lost the plot and the Juventus side apart, you know, the referee didn't, I completely agree with that. But actually, large amounts of football fans have been, in my experience, based on what I've seen on Twitter and what I've read, large amounts of football fans have been almost in complete denial. It was even a penalty, purely because of what's gone on in the lead up to it. It would have been a remarkable story. You know, it would have been great material for us as well if Juventus had gone through.
We all wanted it.
It would have been a great week for Italian football.
I wanted it to happen. But that doesn't make that any less
absolutely
of a penalty.
Right. Mm. Absolutely right. I mean, Agnelli said a referee in Madrid for the quarterfinal must have seen the first leg, realised the Dybala red card was excessive, and understand the various situations. What the bloody hell does that mean? I can't believe that this is the president of Juventus coming out and saying, well, you know, it was a bad decision in the first leg, so he should have therefore gone lenient or something like that. Now, off the top of my head, I can't remember the Dybala red card, but I don't think it was two yellows.
Yeah,
I don't think it was too much.
One was for a dive, one was for a late challenge.
The way you said, oh, it's the president of Juventus. Try saying, that's the chairman of Newcastle. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. Andrea Agnelli's a slightly different character and has cut a different cloth than Mike Ashley.
20 years ago, that wouldn't even be in the top 100 worst things at Juventus.
That's fair. Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is this is a man who should show a little bit of... But then, as you say, with certain Juventus players,
I think it's a bum point. We have to be a bit careful because, of course, the drama, the entertainment, all the stuff that goes on, it's arguably the majority of what makes football so great, and it's definitely a large part of this show, as people listening will know. So we can't completely deride or dismiss this emotion. I understand and
accept
it.
What would you rather him go over to his little VAR pod and stand there for 5 minutes while we figured out whether there's a penalty or not? Like, what do you want to have a football
match? But the decision wouldn't have been changed because it wouldn't have been...
No. Exactly.
Even if he thought, maybe that's a little bit of a soft one. That's not what VAR's there.
Buffon might have calmed down by then.
Exactly.
I don't think he's calmed down yet.
The referee is meant to be ice cool and not meant to get caught up in the emotion of it. And if I was refereeing that game, I would have probably gone, no penalty.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not a referee.
You have to put that in mind, Marcus, because it would have been the easiest thing in the world to not give a penalty.
Absolutely.
It would have gone to extra time. Something else would have happened, and it would have been completely forgotten about.
And if
it would have been a byline.
And if it was up the other end, if it was up the other end, and that wasn't given as a penalty, and Keylor Navas was in the referee's face like that, and he wasn't sent off, everyone, because they wanted Juventus to do it, and so on, would have gone
screaming
crazy
injustice
at Michael Oliver.
Talk about ice cold. Ronaldo's penalty.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, this is past the greatest goalkeeper that ever lived.
Yeah. What, Chesney?
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is the other side of the story that's getting lost, isn't it? He's now scored in every game in the Champions League so far.
Okay.
And, like, you know, that's incredible. If they win a third in a row and Ronaldo scores in every game, like, that's about as good as it gets. Another thing that has been lost is that in the tunnel, as Allegri was walking down it afterwards, apparently Sergio Ramos just sort of appeared from the darkness and went, by the way, definite pen.
Did he?
Love that.
Commitment to being an agent.
He might face a ban.
He'll be
for the semi-final because he was too close to the pitch for the last few minutes and because he was caught up in an altercation with Allegri. And I love the fact that he's not even playing yet. He can still get a ban.
He's suspended, which means he shouldn't have been on the bench. He shouldn't have been on the bench.
Well, I don't think he was on the bench.
No, he didn't start on the bench. For the last 10 or 15 minutes, he was sat on the bench.
Oh, was he?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He was wearing a kooky hat and a jacket.
And a fake beard.
No, he took the hat off when he got down. He's a very handsome man, Ramos.
It could have been Val Kilmer, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Although unlikely these days.
Yeah.
You only ever see him in the reflect. You only ever see him illuminated by the reflective light from a red card, though. So
yeah,
who knows
true.
What he looks like, really.
Yeah, it's true. It's more of an illusion.
Well, Real Madrid will be in the next round. The semi-finals, as we call them. At the time of recording, the draw hasn't happened. Mm. But they won't be facing Manchester City. But they will possibly face Liverpool in the next round. And let's move on to the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen. You see what I did there. And Manchester City are playing Spurs, of course, at Wembley. Manchester City, they could lose four games in a row, which seems it seemed unthinkable, you know, a month or two ago.
And we called it on this show a week ago. We said, you know, they're in serious danger here of their season petering out. They're going to win the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that term.
Petering out, yeah.
Donaldsoning out.
It's funny because I think it's strangely fitting.
Yeah.
having worked with you for 10 years, Pete. Look, it's not a disgrace to not win the Champions League. Only one team can win it. The nature, we said this as well.
Had some bad refereeing decisions.
They did, but not to blow our own trumpet too much. We said it was a nightmare draw for them playing Liverpool. Liverpool deserved to go through. It's not a disgrace to not win the Champions League, but this is a team or a club who are trying to define themselves by this Champions League, by trying to win the Champions League. They're not going to do that. They're not even going to get the semi-finals this year, which is a disappointment for them. If they limp over the line here, I maintain what I said last week, which is this is a team who people were saying are potentially the greatest Premier League team ever. Mm. There's now a serious chance they're not even going to get the record Premier League points total. So it's a week and a half or 2 weeks is a long time in football, it seems, these days.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get any easier for them against Spurs. I mean, Spurs beat them quite straightforwardly last year. I know that was at White Hart Lane. They beat them 2-0, I think.
Yeah.
Dele Alli scored them up, but an own goal on there as well. Spurs always finish the season strongly. They did that last season. They're a good team. It could be getting even worse for City.
Well, it could be hard for Manchester City to raise their game now because, in a sense, they've got nothing to play for because they're already way ahead in the league. They're out the Champions League. They're out the FA Cup. So it's kind of, all right, lads, we'll knuckle down and just keep on doing what you're doing in the league. And for some of those players, it's a bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah, I think, though, one motivation is that winning the Premier League at Wembley is a very weird sort of anomaly, and that's a very special thing.
But they can't win it at Wembley, though, because they have to wait on Manchester United.
True.
And Manchester United will surely beat West Brom.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to find, like, special
factual
little
errors
they can
to help
motivate themselves.
will they have those fire throwers at Wembley that you always have for every final?
I hope so.
I doubt that. Come on.
And if they do?
Just fun.
You're not going, are you?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say good.
Yeah.
In which case,
somebody offered me a ticket, actually, and I said no.
Let me put this out there.
Don't want to see it.
Do you want to hear more of that story, Luke?
Why did you say no?
Because. Can't be asked.
Okay.
All right, back to Luke.
So, at the moment, City are 13 points ahead of Man United. Okay. If United beat... Who are they playing? West Brom.
West Brom.
They're going to win that, aren't they?
Oh, they
are. If City lose to Spurs...
Stop it.
It's 10 points with five games left. It's not...
Here we go.
As I was saying, Spurs to beat Man City is currently 8-5 with Bet365. So £10 will return £26, including the stake. Should they pile more misery on Guardiola's men?
Can you imagine if they threw the league away?
I think the most interesting thing that can happen now is that they make it look like they're going to. You know what I mean? Spurs winning at the weekend is far more interesting.
But
Jim, is
there any merit in knowing the momentum that exists and is very important in football? Is there any merit in exploring the possibility that 10 points clear with five games left is a little bit like, this is pressure now?
Well,
could be tough.
Might I read out their fixtures to see
what
people think?
Home to Swansea, are they after that?
Home to Swansea.
From Guard of Honour to Guardiola of Dishonour.
Yeah.
Home to Swansea, away to West Ham, home to Huddersfield Town, home to Brighton, away to Southampton.
Fucking hell, that is obscene.
Winning the league at the Olympic Stadium is an anomaly. Hey.
So, Karen Brady acclaimed that. I told you to see the Premier League title.
Jeez, that is a dreadful end to the season. What a league, eh?
Which will make it even more remarkable.
Best league in the world.
Make it even more remarkable when they don't win it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, there we are. Guardiola could be given a 3-match ban by UEFA after shouting at the referee. Oh, there was plenty of spice in that.
So catchy.
Indeed, yeah.
And we talked a lot about that on the Continent, which is out now.
He's been accused of communicating with the dugout, having been sent to the stands as well.
Yeah, clearly communicating.
I love this little these sort of little technicalities.
There was a shot of his assistant sort of coming up and going, "What do you want me to say?"
Yeah, he was so obviously down. Doing that. Yeah.
And there was three or four men who looked just like Pep Guardiola in that bit where he'd been banished to.
I thought that was quite Saddam fun. Hussein had loads of lookalikes.
Yes.
You give instructions.
I like
the Chinese whispers thing. Then I'm not communicating with the bench.
I like to think Mikel Arteta suddenly appears in with like a hot dog stand in front of him. So what you? He's taking a long time to order, isn't he, old Pep?
That whole section was actually from a still from the film Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, definitely.
What about Harry Kane being awarded Spurs' second goal against Stoke last week?
Marcus, the amount of hubbub on the internet. Yeah. Who gives a flying shit?
Which was essentially what I was building up to.
Pete, if you don't care about any football issues, it's hard to get through the show.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
you don't care about Buffon. You don't care about going to a game. You don't care about Harry Kane getting a goal.
I care about Buffon. I care about his legacy. I care about Harry Kane. I care about Harry Kane's legacy. But being awarded a muggy little goal, this should, you know, it doesn't really matter.
For those who would be labouring under the illusion that Pete indeed doesn't care, I'd like to let you know that he is recording this show currently wearing a 1998, is it?
No, six.
1996 Adidas Newcastle Brown, now Newcastle United shirt.
Away kit.
Away.
Maroon.
That could just be like because he likes ale, though.
Yeah, that's
we know you do.
It's my drinking shirt.
It's not the first time he's had Nuki Brown ale down his chest.
Yeah. Okay. Knees up Nuki Brown. Mm. Kane got the goal. So there we are.
I didn't see the game because we were away, and I couldn't find a decent quality clip of the actual incident.
Mm-hmm. So it's good you've been on the dubious goal panel. Yeah. Sorry, lads, couldn't get a stream.
I am actually on the panel, and that's why I gave him the goal.
There we are.
Footy tube let me down again, lads.
Yeah.
Give it a Kane.
Mo Salah tweeted, "Whoa, really?
Yeah. Whoa, really?
Four behind Salah now."
Yeah, maybe he was talking about the Bill and Ted remake.
Oh, that's a good point. Do you know what, Jim? I didn't even think about that when I was assessing the situation.
Well, yeah, wake up.
Very much shame on me. At Liverpool, of course, they're home to Bournemouth. The Reds do need a win to stay in the hunt for second place. Can they go and win the bloody Champions League, eh?
This is an awful, awful time to be playing Liverpool at Anfield, isn't it? Absolutely awful. They've got a 10-point cushion in the top four places. Yep. And they're obviously so buoyed by their recent wins.
They might rest players, but still,
I think
Bournemouth could reach 41 points with a win, Jim. And after their dreadful start to the season, was it 7 or 8 games without a win? Look at Bournemouth there, riding high, could be on for a top half finish.
And Liverpool didn't beat Everton, remember? That was a 0-0.
Yeah, true.
So, realistically, obviously, Liverpool will be huge favourites for this. I think they, to answer your question, Marcus, I think they absolutely can win the Champions League, and I said it for a while. Mm-hmm. I think no one will want to play them. No one.
Yeah, I think, they've got the most potent attacking force left in there, that you would argue, even including Madrid, given how much they share the goals around. And, they do seem to have shored up that defence. It's brilliant. I also love it's four teams from four different countries.
That's nice.
Makes
that's
it really
great.
Exciting.
It's great. Yeah,
yeah, and Lovren, by the way, a bit of praise for him. He's been heavily criticised, understandably so, but was brilliant in the two games against Manchester.
They look much better at the back now. They've settled. They've got a nice little unit. We talked about it earlier in the season, a little team within a team. I think they look much better. And if they can maintain that sort of defensive discipline, because Man City are good going forward, let's not forget, and they're able to keep them out as much as they need to. And with that attacking force, I don't think any of those teams will want to play Liverpool. I think Liverpool can score lots of goals, which can hurt you, and they can also shore it up when they need to. That second half, I think it was in the first leg against Man City. They took a sustained bombardment, and of course, in the second leg, I understand they got a bit lucky with refereeing decisions and all the rest of it. But particularly in that second half of that first leg, they just soaked it up, and if they can do that, they got a good chance of winning the whole thing. I genuinely think that. And finally, to say this for the final time on this podcast. One thing we've also said in the past, once you're in the semi-final, you're part of the conversation, anything can happen. You can do it.
No one wants to go away to Anfield.
No way.
Yeah. Can I just mention something that I've got a sneaking suspicion about? You know, football isn't always logical, but you look at the crazy results that have happened in this round of games, then you look at Bayern not getting involved.
Yeah.
That makes you think, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Bayern just carefully and quietly just going about a 0-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't play well.
All we needed.
Yeah, well.
Why are we worried?
Yeah, but Liverpool.
Bournemouth are 9-1 to pull off an upset at Anfield on Saturday tea time. £10 with Bet365 will return £100, including stake.
Well, As I say, that survival is almost there because you get 41 points. Surely that'll be enough.
And they're Liverpool, a decent nick.
Liverpool may well rest players. It's not a ridiculous thing to say. What is ridiculous is Pete Donaldson, and he's over there with his correspondence.
Hello, it's time for correspondence. Quick one from Chris Frost. My highlight of the week has just happened. Edison took a throw-in. Yes. I didn't see this.
Seeing a goalkeeper take a throw-in is always pleasing.
When they were chasing the game, they did, he did. He's actually quite a good technique, given that... So who is it who's been in trouble for not being able to take throw-ins? I forget.
Not a goalkeeper.
I remember what you said. But the thing is with Edison, you get the impression that if he was played outfield in any position,
he'd be all right, yeah.
If he played up front, he'd score. Couple, I reckon. I think they should do it, should they not? A couple of games left of the season.
They've not won it yet.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's actually a bit of a Man City tradition, isn't it? So,
why not respect the history of the club? They've got a track record of playing previous goalkeepers up front, and that's what I want to be a part of.
Who was in charge of Stuart Pearce? I think Stuart Pearce has a tradition of doing that, not Manchester City.
Terence Haggis, have any West Coast...
Whoa.
Slow down.
Terence Haggis.
Slow down.
Terry Haggis.
Pete Palmo.
Terry Haggis. Pete Palmo.
Tez Hag.
Terence Haggis says, have any West Ham fans been to the Stadio Olimpico? It's a 90-year-old athletic stadium. What are they mourning about?
Yeah.
Which, you know, is fair enough.
Oh. Is it fair enough?
I've been... Well, Marcus and I went there, didn't we?
We did. Brilliant. There's a running track at the
San Paolo as well.
And a mort as well. I was like, oh, I wonder what's down there.
Yeah.
Crocodiles. Hello to Joseph Kelly Hook. Hello, Joseph Kelly Hook. Hi, Ramble. Just a quick thank you, really. Last year, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. I was only 26, and it was 3 days after starting a new job, meaning I was by myself and faced a long, lonely drive back from Swindon to the London flat I was yet to leave behind. On this journey, I listened to a couple of Ramble pods, and you made me laugh, which is pretty impressive given the circumstances. I am genuinely grateful. I'm all good now, one bollock lighter, but after a course of chemotherapy, the cancer has indeed gone. If you fancy reminding your listeners to give their balls a check, that will be good, but I must... I basically just want to say thank you.
Oh Joseph, well done.
You're in Tulse Hill.
I'm pleased I didn't take the mickey out your name. One, because that's a really nice, heartwarming email, but also because Tulse Hill's just down the road from where I live, and you might give me a slap.
But you're
rightly slow.
Give you a right hook. Hi there, Ramblers. This is from Robert Dunn. My email is exactly how it sounds. Do you want to know the... Do you want to know the title of the email?
Yeah.
Steve Lomas on a cruise ship.
Oh,
sweet. Oh, hello.
I'm currently on a cruise in and around Portugal, Spain and France with a well-known British cruise company. P&O? I don't know. or the one we were sponsored by a little while ago. The other day, I was getting my daughter registered to use the nursery facilities when I overheard a member of staff telling a child that they had a football coach. I didn't think much of it, but it turns out it's only bloody Steve Lomas of Man City, West Ham and Northern Ireland fame.
Yeah.
He got a chubby when he scored a goal once.
No, he never.
He did. He was on Fantasy Football League and he had a right old chubber on.
Who's most likely to know about this? Pete. And he says he did.
All right,
the sort of behaviour you would expect on a P&R ferry and not a Cunard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which are superior. He is running daily football sessions in the football court on the top of the ships, 19 floors up and very wobbly in the Bay Biscay. Sadly, he isn't running any football sessions for 32-year-old blokes such as myself. However, there was an afternoon event entitled An Audience with Steve Lomas.
Nice.
Stopping short of a tie and blazer set, it was as partridge as it sounds. Steve was actually very good to listen to, but the guy interviewing him just needed a keyboard and to announce that Sue Cook wasn't going to make it.
The guy who's emailing in should, by rights, if he's got anything about him, go up to Steve Lomas at the bar and tell him that he would have been a footballer as well, but he got a knee injury.
That's right.
Because that's what you've got to do.
Of course you've got to do that.
Yeah. And ask him about his chubby. Ask Bob Dunn, ask... Did he get a chubby?
What inspired you that day? Who inspired you?
What were you thinking when you... Was it when he scored and he was celebrating?
Yeah.
He was celebrating and he had a right old...
Stonk on.
Did he picture the celebrating fans all in the buff?
He had a little mini Mars bar down there.
Come on, service me.
Anyway, show at thefootballramble.com if you want to email Pete. And from my experience, you probably want to do it. Find out exactly what time we record. I'm not going to tell you where. And email just before then because you'll definitely get it in.
Yeah. How very rude. What a rude little man you are.
He's really upset by that.
Yeah, I've cut to the core of him there.
The truth does hurt, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes. That's why I never listen to it. Right, we're going to talk about Crystal Palace and Brighton after the break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Muy rápido, muy, muy, like a Ferrari.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Crystal Palace versus Brighton and Hove Albion. It's that strange derby, and it's come around. And if Brighton win this, they will put their fierce rivals in more trouble and take a huge step towards survival themselves. Brighton need this because, I mean, I know there are a few points. In fact, to be honest with you, the way it's going, the points in which they're above the relegation zone already could well be enough.
Do you remember that viral video where that Japanese TV show made like a big slippery staircase covered in oil and grease and stuff? That's what the back end of the Premier League is. People just slipping down and going, oh my...
Do you think that's what it should be decided upon if, instead of goal difference?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah.
Well, a big slippery staircase.
You know, back in the 90s...
And at the top, Lawmass. In full.
But you've got to grab it.
Glory.
Yeah. You've got to hold on to it.
You've got to grab it.
Known as the tripod.
Oh, no, Lawmass at the bottom. So if you slip into it, you're in trouble.
No, I think at the top.
Can I just say, the way it should be decided, do you remember in the 90s when they used to have that...
Lawmass erection.
Each Premier League club used to have to hand over their, well, not hand over, but give along their fastest player, and there'd be like a running race.
That's right.
And it'd be done by region.
I think it was in the 80s, was it?
No, it was 90s.
Was it 90s?
Yeah, and
madness.
And it was done by region, and then the fastest player of each region got to run in a 100-metre race before the FA Cup final.
It's so weird.
They should have to do that. They should have to put their fastest player in and then they have to race against each other. And if one comes last, they will get relegated.
But presumably, this didn't include players that would have been playing in the FA Cup final.
No, it wasn't, no. But they were in full kit. I mean, the hamstring danger would be absolutely ridiculous.
As Bobby Robson said, mule rapido.
Yeah.
But what was great is because there was no running track, so you don't have the traditional blocks that the sprinters are in. It was a bit like your sports there at school, where they're all just lined up. A little bit of string at the end.
It was.
Ready, steady, go!
But taking it back to Brighton, the reason that they're almost certainly going to be safe is because, you know, take
7 points.
Southampton, who've got 6 games to play, even if Southampton chug along at 1 point per game, something they haven't done this season, they're only going to end up on 34 points, and that's one fewer than Brighton anyway.
Well, Brighton, it is a big game for Brighton, obviously, because it's a derby match. But The Glenn Murray derby. But they still have to play Spurs, Man United, Manchester City and Liverpool. So I think if you're a Brighton fan, yes, I understand with regards to the 7-point gap, and it's just as well they've built that up. But if they lose, then they do have some big games. And you never know with Mark Hughes and Southampton, could Crystal, Hughes lift them?
Crystal Palace have got a really decent run in. After Brighton, they play Watford, Leicester, Stoke and Crystal Palace. West Brom.
Yeah, but Palace need a win. They do.
Same with Brighton, though. Neither are in particularly good form. So in a sense, a weird derby probably comes at quite a good time because they've got to spark themselves into life again.
Well, Palace were unlucky last time against Bournemouth when they conceded. And you look at Palace, they play some decent stuff. And Zaha's obviously... one of the best players in that part of the Premier League table. But it is a great chance for Palace because Southampton, one place and 3 points below them, play Chelsea. And if Palace can win this, and presumably Chelsea beat Southampton, then 6 points at this
it's
stage
a big gap.
is a huge gap.
Do you remember the game at the Amex between these two? It was 0-0. It was one of the worst games of the season.
It was
absolutely terrible.
But I'm really hoping, obviously, as a neutral, that this is a bit more of a ding-dong battle.
You're not a neutral when Big Roy's involved.
No.
Let's be fair. But you like Houghton as well?
I do. I think I'll probably go for Palace this one.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, because I think Brighton are probably already safe and I like them.
So. Well, Palace are now 8-1 to be relegated with Bet365 and they're currently 3 points above the relegation zone. £10 will return £90 should they fail to beat the drop.
Newcastle United.
Yes.
We've already talked about them being definitely safe.
Definitely, definitely safe now.
They're playing Arsenal at home. Arsenal will...
Definitely, definitely safe now.
Arsenal might not provide a stern opposition, coming back from Russia, of course, at the time of recording. That hasn't happened. But Newcastle, they can reach 40 points if they beat Arsenal at home on the weekend, which would be great, you know, to reach that mark with a handful of games to spare.
It doesn't mean anything, though, does it, that 40-point thing these days?
No. Not this season.
I don't think so.
Not this season.
Nah.
Actually, it hasn't only one side, was it West Ham, with have been relegated from the Premier League with 40 points?
42, didn't they, I think.
Yeah, it's fair. Right, so yeah. there is some credence in that.
But I think you can realistically get away with lower than that and still survive. That's the point.
You can, but I think that most managers, Benitez himself, I think, mentioned 40 points. You know, even Ranieri. Mentioned 40 points when Leicester won the league.
Yeah, he was still saying it when they were getting the trophy.
They were on like, you're on 68 points.
He's saying it in his sleep.
To look over at the Arsenal side of the coin, Jim, one thing that absolutely, I'm not just saying this to have a dig at Arsenal, it genuinely surprised me, and I saw this earlier. Arsenal have only won 3 Premier League games away from home all season.
No,
their away record is appalling.
Last week, that's where the season's fallen apart. They're a completely different prospect on the road. Aubameyang has hit the ground running, as we said recently, so he'll be fresh because he can't play in the Europa League. So I'm hoping that he'll do well there. But Arsenal have beaten Newcastle in the last 10 games they've met in the Premier League, which is quite a big thing. And I think it's 3 wins in a row now. Newcastle looking for a 4th straight win as well. So actually, this might be quite a good little ding dong. Mm.
It's so stark how badly it's affected them this season, because if you look at the teams above them, you know, 13 away wins, 9 away wins, 9, 10, 7. Yeah. Like these
drop off, isn't it?
Arsenal's away record is worse than Crystal Palace's.
The most frustrating thing about that is that something Wenger has said a few times this season after defeats is that, I don't really understand why it's different when you play away from when you play at home. It's like, well, you've been doing this job for 20 years.
You get on a bus. Remember that bit when you get on the bus? That bit.
Yeah. Just accept that it is different and try and do something about it.
Yeah. I wear the same clothes. I don't understand.
Part of the confusion for me.
Can we have more of your Arsene Wenger in the future?
Hello, I cannot. I just remembered I cannot do French properly.
Sounds more sarcastic.
Yeah. Sarcastic.
Fermez la bouche!
There we go. Yeah. I think that the Newcastle fans have already started thinking that they're safe. Mm. And I say that because they've obviously taken their eye off their own club and are looking towards another club in the North East.
This is fantastic.
Their fans have been told that they can't go to the Stadium of Light in the hope that they'll witness Sunderland being relegated. Sunderland are 6 points from safety in the Championship with 4 matches left. It's looking bleak for them, I have to say. But they are aware that large numbers of Newcastle fans might travel to watch Sunderland at home to gloat, like they did in 1987, by the way, when Sunderland went down and about 1,000 Geordies turned up to see it.
People say there's nothing to do in the North East.
Zero sum game, that, isn't it?
The pettiness level is actually quite impressive.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Would you turn up there in your Toon shirt, Pete?
Is that why you've got it on now?
Imagine like a Newcastle fan saying to his wife or to her husband or whatever, I thought we'd have a nice weekend. Newcastle are away from home, so I thought we'd have a nice weekend. Nah, going to Sunderland. Yeah. I am going to watch Sunderland get relegated. You hate Sunderland. That's why I'm going. What's in your heart? A rubbish bin. Hate, mate.
Yeah, right.
Some are getting in, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, how are you
Some
banning
are getting
them?
In.
Of course they
well,
are.
Apparently you can't buy tickets on the door, I think.
Oh, that's right. There are a few. Yeah, you need to have previous of buying tickets. So
they need all the help they can get. Come
Spiked
on,
finds a way.
Indeed it does. But also, do your groundwork. So get a home ticket now so you can definitely see it.
Every Newcastle supporter knows loads of Sunderland fans. So, I mean, come on.
When I came into the studio earlier, Pete had a home... He's wearing an away shirt at the moment, but he had a home shirt on the table in front of him, and I wondered why he was colouring the black stripes with red marker paint. Yeah.
Well, that's why he has that Olympiacos shirt, which looks like a Sunderland colour, so he can turn up and he'll just go straight in.
Therefore,
go straight in.
Paul Dummett.
Yes.
Hello.
Is 20-1 to get a goal at any time in this game.
I like that.
Something he's failed to do in the Premier League so far this season.
Yep.
£10 will net £210, including a stake, with Bet365. Should he bag one against Arsenal?
Oh. I may have backed Mitrovic to be the top scorer in the World Cup, but I will not be backing that.
Well, that segues nicely, Peter, into the Championship. Now, I know we don't often talk about the Championship in this particular Football Ramble show, but we have to, considering the seismic activity that's been going on down in that wonderful division. 2 of the best volleys you'll ever see.
No, yeah.
I wouldn't say Grealish.
Okay, I agree. One of the best volleys you'll ever see.
Neves was definitely in there.
Yeah, that's like, it doesn't matter the level. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, Neves for Wolves, what a strike. I mean, as you said earlier, Jim, it was Matt Letizia-esque.
And the fog and the floodlights. That's what made it better.
Although, to be fair, Jack Grealish's volley was an absolute
brilliant
peach
strike
as well.
Wasn't Prince William dancing around with... what footballer was it?
John Carew.
John Carew, yeah, John Carew and Prince William having a little boogie.
Perfect duo.
Were they? So weird.
Big man combo.
That's a buddy
Big man, royal man.
Big man, bald man.
Yeah, that's true. Oi, don't disrespect.
Grealish
I'll do what I want.
Grealish is, I'm not taking anything away from Grealish, but that goal wasn't as good as Neves's, but Grealish's was made to look better because it hit the post.
Mate, it was an absolute peach.
It was a peach, yeah.
And it was in front of a royal, so it counts more.
Yeah, you get double for that. they basically now get promoted by Royal Ascension, yeah.
And he's Sir Jack Grealish now.
Yeah, then that goal is now by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen.
That's right. Well, due to Wolves winning and Cardiff losing,
yeah. What's the real story in the Championship this week, Martin?
Wolves can win promotion this weekend against their local rivals Birmingham.
I would have thought it would be Fulham moving up into second.
Fulham moving up into second. Before we came on, I like this article.
He didn't score, did he?
On Sky Sports, it said Alexander Mitrovic unleashed at Fulham after Newcastle struggle. Yeah. I'm now going to proceed to read the whole article out. And you can wipe your tears, my man.
No, but I lose, but I also win because I backed him for being a great striker. So I kind of win in a way.
You backed him for being the new Alan Shearer. Yeah,
Yeah, Alan Shearer never played for Fulham.
Alan Shearer, who famously
the new Brian McBride, my man.
Alan Shearer, who was famously farmed out on loan for being unreliable.
By the way, it doesn't matter what Mitrovic does in the World Cup as well, because Rafa Benitez said this recently. I'm not.
I'm taking the Serbia job.
I'm not a fan of the Euros and World Cup in terms of signing players from there, because when they go there, what do they have? Something you don't have for 10 months. It's not guaranteed for 10 months. He's basically saying, oh, so what if you play well at a tournament in the World Cup? So if Mitrovic bags 8 goals in Russia, it won't make the blindest bit
of difference. I think Benitez is absolutely right. The amount of players who get signed for ridiculous fees because they do well in the World Cup, it's not the best time to be signing players.
Remember when Milan Baroš was top scorer, and I think Euro 2004, and apparently Real Madrid were sniffing around him. It's like, guys, it's still Milan Baroš.
Yeah. Champions League winner, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, true.
He is. He's a Champions
Just
League
like
winner.
Jimmy Traore.
And he plied his trade down at Fratton Park for a while. So the joke is very much on you there, Jim. His career went through the stratosphere.
Yeah, he's not Real Madrid quality, though.
Why use Real Madrid as a stepping stone if you can end up at Fratton Park?
Are Sunderland and Pompey going to be exchanging places?
Pompey will probably bottle it, I think.
Yeah. Beautiful.
No, they won't. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Very rare.
Now, before we move on from the Championship, what about Big Mick McCarthy just packing it in?
Yeah. This is the story of the week.
Yeah. It's absolutely... I mean,
box office. Exactly.
Mike Drop McCarthy.
I feel sorry for Mike Drop McCarthy because unfairly been overshadowed by Buffon.
Yeah.
Neves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's all been happening.
You walk out on a club in spectacular fashion and you are fifth story in the news and you're labelled a prat.
What I love is that he went out on a high because they beat Barnsley at home 1-0 at Ipswich. Yeah. But he just said in the post-match press
that's
conference...
That's me, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
See you later.
You got your 3 points, what more do you want?
He also said...
Shove it up your bollocks.
He also said that every single player and member of staff wants him to stay. I was like, well, just stay then.
Yeah.
I feel quite sorry for him. He's clearly been a given a, you know... A terrible old time.
Shouldn't have told his own fans to F off, though.
I feel very sorry for him because they play such scintillating football and the fans are being unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got World Cup pedigrees, we know, with the Republic of Ireland. Yep. If there is a team who's looking for a manager all of a sudden at the World Cup...
Interestingly enough, in a football world where managers don't seem to last 5 minutes, McCarthy does, to be fair to him.
Yeah,
always staying jobs for a long time. Mm. I mean, he was at Millwall for ages when he first started. He was at Republic of Ireland for a long time.
I didn't realise he'd been at Ipswich for that long.
Yeah, 6 years or something.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
It's a long time.
You sounded like a 90s movie trailer then.
What?
In a world.
Yeah, in a world
where managers last 5 minutes. Well, enter Mic Drop McCarthy.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where he pops up next.
Yeah.
We'd like it to be the Premier League. We'd like it... You know, if Rafa does move on, we'd like it to be Newcastle United.
Don't subject me to that.
Well, Benitez, we can now officially break the news that Benitez has moved to Serbia.
Yeah.
So, mind you, speaking of that, does anyone know if Antonio Conte's still in the job?
Do you remember
cryogenic stasis?
I know Mick McCarthy's not getting that one.
No, he might. Well, because English managers never get a chance.
Born
in Barnsley, he's English.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Is that why then they beat Barnsley 1-0 and he's thinking, get one over the hometown or something?
I can never go home again.
Yeah, I'm just burning all my bridges.
Yeah, upsets everyone at once. That's perfect.
I love the smell of burning bridges in the morning.
There we are. Right, it's now time for our best bet with Bet365.
It is, and thank you, Marcus. And as everyone who listens to this show every week will know, this section of the show has been under siege, hasn't it?
And underwhelming.
Oh, everyone's got an opinion.
We need a trebuchet. You should defend ourselves.
We do.
We need to. Listen, draw up the drawbridge and draw down the blinds because we're under siege. People think everyone's got an opinion. My email inbox is overloaded with ideas for best bet to the point of where I thought I might do it myself this week.
Tin hat on.
I might do it myself this week, front up, but I thought, I'm not doing that. So this comes from Ed, whose surname escapes me, but I'll find it. I think it might be.
I think it's Eddie Baby.
Ed Gibson is the name.
Gibbo.
He says, all right, guys, the better the week shambles, rambles on, see? And every week I remain convinced I can do a better job using a bit of nous and a lot of research. So here it is. Mark Hughes has a truly dreadful record against the big clubs in the last year. He's played against the current top five 6 times since April 2017. And in that time, the scores have been as follows. 5-0, 5-1, 3-0, 7-2, 4-0, 2-2. Mm. Additionally, Southampton are toilet. Utterly toilet. He started to win me round about this part of the email. Mm. And while Chelsea haven't been firing on all cylinders, they've got more than enough about them to put this shower to the sword. So I'd like to put the £50 on Chelsea to win and for there to be over 2.5 goals, which I believe is available at a tasty 2-1. So £50 should return £150, including stake for charity. By the way, I'm a Stoke fan, so I'm keen for someone, i.e. charity, to finally benefit from Hughes' ineptitude. All the best, Ed. So Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals is 2-1. £50 on that with Bet365 will indeed return £150, and all proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals. Get behind it.
I think it's a good bet, and I think Eddie Baby will see us next week, perhaps.
It's in everyone's interest in this room and listening at home for this to come off. So let's all get behind it.
Damn right. Now then, we come to the section called "What Has Luke Been Asking the Listeners This Week?"
If Michael Oliver has a bin for a heart, what's your heart made of? Mm. Pete, what's your heart made of?
Solid gold.
Biltong.
Yeah. Chromium.
Chromium, biltong, and solid gold. There you go. Not a combination we thought. My, after Naples, mine's made of mozzarella.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's very malleable.
Yes.
I asked if Michael Oliver has a bin for a heart, according to Gigi Buffon, what's your heart made of? And I really wish a journalist had asked him, what's your heart made of then, Gigi, if Michael Oliver's is made of a rubbish bin? But no one did.
Yeah.
Andy Bainbridge says, my heart is made of a Toby Carvery.
Oh, good.
But he says, I'm not related to Big Sam.
No.
David Cook, my heart at the moment is made of Panini stickers.
Okay.
Can see that, can see why.
Yeah.
Matthew Williams, admiration for Brendan Rodgers and all the work he's done for the city of Glasgow and modern day Mandela.
Well, his heart is made of...
admiration for Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, I see, right, yeah.
Matthew Belair says, my heart is made of Mick McCarthy's disdain for Ipswich supporters.
Matthew who?
Matthew Belair.
Oh,
Belair.
Fresh Prince.
B-E-L-L-A-I-R.
Like it.
Fresh Prince. It must be his nickname.
Surely.
Surprised he hasn't got it in his Facebook name, like Oliver Memories Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish with this one. Chris Little. My heart's made of hope. Only joking. Despair at everything because I support Stoke.
Oh, no.
A downbeat way to end the show.
Certainly, certainly. Oh, well, there we are. That's sometimes the way it goes. Mick McCarthy would want that. And thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure having you with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back, of course, at the start of next week with the Ramble. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Peetles.
Bye-bye.
Bye from me, too.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.